I pray, Father, for your blessing upon this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, let's read from verse 1. And they came over, read out loud. Okay, everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been black, and fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. A great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Verse 14, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come, verse 15 is the last one. And they come into the city and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Hallelujah. That is a very powerful passage. Amen. But in that passage, there's so many elements and so many things we're learning about evil spirits. I think, number one, we talked about fear, isn't it? So fear is one of the hallmarks of the works of the devil. He puts people in fear. Then the other thing we talked about, number two, is the territorialism of demons, isn't it? That demons work in territories. They take over places, neighborhoods, cities, towns, even countries. Hallelujah. You remember we read somewhere and it says the demons begged him not to drive them out of the country, isn't it? The demons said, it's okay, you don't want us in this guy, we're going to let him go. But don't get us out of this country. This is our place. Amen. We want to be here. We still want to live in this place. Hallelujah. And that is a very, very important lesson to learn, because it means that places are inhabited by specific spirits, and those spirits account for the features of the places, even neighborhoods. Amen. That's why you find certain things in certain places and certain neighborhoods, and certain experiences you will have in one place, you will not have in another place, because the spirits that cause that experience are not in that place. Hallelujah. A different kind of spirit may be there, but not a certain type. Hallelujah. So it is very, very, very important that we know these kinds of things. See, if you take something like divorce, for example, you're more likely to get divorced if you live in America than you would in another place. Let's say in another part of Africa. You see, you're more likely. It's not just a cultural thing, but it's an evil spirit that makes it happen. Do you see? And when you see something in a place for a long time, then it starts to be the culture. Culture is just the nature of something. Do you understand? A culture is just the way, or a way something has been for a long time. It starts to be associated with it and it becomes its culture. But the origins of that culture is what I'm talking about. It's how that particular thing comes to be in the first place. And that is controlled by evil spirits. Can I have an amen? So when you live in an area and live in a place, you must be aware of the evil spirits in the place, even in a natural. You get it? Many years ago, I used to live in a part of New York City. I had the club. You know the club?
Yeah.
For locking up your steering wheel? Yeah, I had one. I mean, it was just required to live in that neighborhood. You know, you would walk up and down the street and every car was clubbed. They had different forms of it, you know. Then I moved to another place and then I realized nobody had the club in that place. Do you understand? So what I'm saying is that as I lived in this particular place, I became aware of what the potential danger is in this neighborhood, which is that there is a chance that my car will be stolen. Do you understand? So I bought the club, you see, in anticipation of any possibilities and to protect myself from that particular evil spirit that was in the place or that particular vice that was associated with that neighborhood. But when I went to a different place, then I dropped my guard on that and I left my club. In fact, even when I arrived in the place, I used to club the car initially. And what it rather did was it told everybody that I was coming from. So if I went to visit someone and he came up to see me off and we would go to the car and they would see how I would come out with my key and unclog the car and so on, then they would, oh, you just moved here from, you probably came from New York City or some place like that. Hallelujah. So that's in the natural. In spiritually also, you should know that there is a parallel. There are some things that will only happen to you because you live here in America. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. There are certain evil spirits and we need to be aware of them. We need to be aware of the spirits that attack us in the West Coast. Hallelujah. And then begin to guard against them and protect yourself against them in prayer and in other ways, which I'll be sharing with you hopefully today. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So demons are territorial in their operations. Say amen.
Amen.
Right. Then another thing we mentioned about evil spirits is, I think we talked about depression, isn't it? We talked about depression and perhaps mental disorders. You see, let me just draw your attention to something. Look at this here. The Bible says when the evil spirits left the man, one of the things he did was now he came and he sat clothed and he was in his right mind. Can you see that? So when the evil spirits were in him, one thing he couldn't afford was to be in his right mind. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, there are so many medical conditions that affect the mind. Do you understand? Which can be explained medically, isn't it, Yehuda? Yeah? So you can have different nice medical terminology explaining them. But what they are explaining is what it is. They are just telling us the nature of the manifestation. Do you understand? But behind it, we need as Christians to become aware of the evil spirits that cause those kinds of things. Because here is a guy, he has not seen a doctor. Now you can see his behavior here seems to be sharply different from his behavior at the beginning of the story. Is it not the case? Yeah? Let's look at the same story in the book of Luke. And I like the way Luke puts it in Luke chapter 8, verse 27. Luke chapter 8 and verse 27. Now look at this same man and his behavior. Pastor, don't lose this one. Okay. He says, they went forth to the land and there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes. Can you see that? And neither abode he in any house. He wouldn't live anywhere, but he lived in the tombs. Hallelujah. So you can see, here is a man, he would not wear any clothes, isn't it? And he would not live in any house, but stayed in the tombs. He just stayed away from people. Do you understand that? Now, this same man, at the end of the story, now he's sitting among people, and he's clothed, and now he is in his right mind. Hallelujah. And the only difference is that the evil spirits have left him. We don't read that he has gone to see a doctor. He has not taken some medication. It's not any of those things. Those medications, they control the physical manifestations of the thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, you can control the physical manifestations of the thing and keep it under control. But I'm talking about the fountain out of which the water is flowing. Do you understand? I'm talking about the thing that causes that manifestation in the first place. Hallelujah. Are you understanding the word of God today? So you see right there that the man now has his right mind. So evil spirits are also responsible sometimes for mental disorders. Do you understand? And mood disorders. Some of us who get depressed for no reason. Do you understand? You just get moody. You have just mood swings. There are times when you just feel so low. It's like some juices have been poured around your brain. And you just can't function. You can't relate with people. You can't laugh anymore. You don't want to see anybody. You just get into this foul mood. And you don't, you feel so evil in that situation. You must begin to think about evil spirits. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You must begin to think about evil spirits. The guy was crying all the time. Back to the Mark story, we read that the guy was crying all the time. Always he was crying. Always he was unhappy. Always he was crying. Always he was just crying and crying and crying and crying and crying. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me? It says always, night and day. I mean, if you cry in the night, we understand. Maybe you're afraid. But now daytime too, you are crying. What's your problem? Hallelujah. So unexplained sorrow, always depressed, always feeling low. Do you understand? Having a pessimistic, constantly, perpetually pessimistic picture and outlook on life is not the way God intended us to be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Expecting negative outcomes all the time and terrified by them. It's like you don't like what you're expecting anyway, but you can't help but expect it. You see, you can't help but expect it, even though the expectation itself and the thought of it frightens you. It scares you and you hate it. You resent it. You don't like it, but you find yourself in that situation because it's not like you choose to expect that, but it seems to descend on you. You wake up in the morning and you can't help it. That's what's on your mind. And you are just thinking evil thoughts all the time that make you feel low and, you know, emotionally agitated and not able to flow as a normal human being should flow. You must begin to think about evil spirits. Can I have an amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Right. So that's one. Another one, I'm just not sharing them in any particular order, you know, so just flow with me as I am going along. Amen. Right. Another one is isolation, isn't it? That we talked about, I think it was last week. See, the man wouldn't go where people are. He was in the tombs where there are no people. Hallelujah. We are not created to be alone. Hallelujah. It is the devil who often wants to isolate us and to put us in a corner and to catch us by ourselves, so he can minister to us, so he can attack us, and so he can tell us some of the weirdest things we have ever heard in life. Do you understand? So he can drive our imaginations. Do you see? He can drive our imaginations. Because we are in places where there is nobody to distract you. There's nobody. You know how sometimes you can be thinking, but the people around you can break your train of thought. Do you understand what I'm saying? But when you're constantly by yourself, you don't have people around you to even give you that luxury. So any line that the devil puts you on, you run its full course. So you start in the morning and you start to imagine things and start to imagine evil things and you begin to think about it. And by 12 o'clock, it's just developing and it's gotten worse. You become so paranoid, you become scared of everybody, suspicious of everybody. Many of us have very fine, wonderful people in our lives, people that God has placed in our lives for us to relate with as friends, as beloveds, as, you know, brothers and sisters and so on. But we destroy all those relationships because of the way our minds work. You know, it's like you don't feel at ease until you destroy the relationships that God has given you. See, when I was a little boy, we used to have these little toys. They don't have them anymore, but you would wind them and build some tension in it. And then you leave the toy and it would go. It was like a car or anything. It would be a soldier or something like that. You know, it was one of the few toys that I had. You would wind it, you know, you would wind it. And you would build the tension in it. Now, when you build the tension in it, the thing just is not at ease until it has released that tension. Do you understand? So you see that it wants to move. It just wants to move. You have to set it down for it to, you know, move and expand itself. And then it calms down. And sometimes some of us are like that. Every good thing God gives to you, every good person God brings into your life, every good thing God gives to you, you do not feel at ease until you spoilt it. Yeah. You start picking at it. You start criticizing it. You start tearing it apart. You start ripping it apart. You find faults with it, criticize it, quarrel with it. Find some reason by all means to destroy it. Because the thing is like you've been wound up and you are not at ease. You have to spoil it. You have to spoil it until it's destroyed and you start to feel at ease. Then, you know, you feel free. You see, then after you feel free, you soon see that the thing is spoiled. Then you start to, my toy is spoiled too. Hallelujah. You must begin to think about evil spirits. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. See, we are identifying the ways of the devil. Amen. Right. Another one is unnatural behavior. Unnatural behavior. I am sure you agree with me that a person who doesn't like wearing clothes is behaving unnaturally, isn't it? Who will not live in any house, no matter how nice the house is. The problem is not that he lives in a slum. No. The problem is he is anti-houses. He can't live in an apartment. He can't live in a mansion. He can't live in a house. He can't live in a tent. He just can't be contained in that type of environment. Hallelujah. And the Bible is explaining that it is an evil spirit that causes a person to do that. Amen. It's an evil spirit that causes a person to do that. That he does not behave naturally. So watch out for behaviors that are not natural. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Watch out for behaviors that are not natural. I was sharing with you last week about homosexuality as one of the things that is unnatural. Do you understand? It's not natural for us to do that. And we must begin to think about evil spirits when we begin to have such tendencies. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So unnatural behaviors is another thing that we need to watch out for. Amen. Then, in still talking perhaps about unnatural behaviors or closely related to that, is also supernatural strength. Do you get it? Or excess capacity for something. You see? Now, you need to watch this one very carefully. See, the Bible says that this man, right at the beginning, verse 3. Let's read verse 3. Verse 3. It says, he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Then verse 4, it says, because he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and he had plucked asunder the chains. I mean, you put the man, imagine if you had a criminal, and you put the criminal in handcuffs, and then he just removes it with it. You know, the word the Bible uses is to pluck it. So he just, you know, He just pick the handcuff off his fingers or his wrist. Just takes it off like that. That is supernatural strength. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's telling you that evil spirits are able to influence our bodies and to charge us up with excess capacity, physical ability for something that we are not naturally capable of doing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is very interesting. Because it begins then to point us towards sometimes even overeating. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about excess capacity. Do you get it? You take somebody. I can hear your mind say, Pastor, what's your message? But I'm coming down your aisle. Look, all of us are designed to be able to eat some amount of food. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, all of us are designed to be able to eat a mouth. But now, there is a point at which you must begin to think about evil spirits. When you find yourself always eating and eating and eating. Now, watch this. The thing about, one of the things about the evil spirits is that, remember the spirits, verse 5, please. The spirits were actually causing him to cut himself. Can you see that? So one of the features you should write down is self-destruction. Do you understand? Where you're doing something that you know is not good for you, but you can't stop yourself from doing it. Are you getting it, Steve? That is why I'm saying so excessive eating, something, and not just eating, excessive capacity for anything, even having sex. The other day, I read somewhere that some lady says that she has slept with 1,000 men. Do you understand? Now, that is a clear evil spirit. It's a problem. It is an evil spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And she said that, she was telling her story. She said that she's almost ruining her life with this large appetite. Are you listening to me? Huh? Or I should change the subject. Okay, let's talk about crosses. Because I'm talking about sex, all of you have made a straight face and you're looking down and still muttering something. So let's talk about crosses. The cross of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. The lady said that it had gotten so bad that now, like her lunch break, she has to step out quickly and find somebody to have sex with before she can come back to work. Otherwise, she's not normal. She says in one day, she can have between 6 and 7 partners. Wow. I mean, you think about it. I'm telling you, it's an evil spirit. It is an evil spirit. God created our sexuality just like he created our ability to eat. Do you understand? But everything, the devil preys on things that God has giving us a natural ability and a natural desire to do. And then he just winds it up to the end. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then suddenly that good thing, you know, starts to affect us in a negative way, starts to control us in a negative way. And many times we don't see his hand in it because the thing itself is naturally good. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, how can you? And then when I read the story and read the story, it was from a UK newspaper. And I read the story and read the story and read the story. Then when I got to the end, I realized that they said that the woman was originally a man. Can you understand that? Yeah, that woman they were talking about, she was originally a man. Do you see? And she was saying that this extra appetite and desire for sex escalated after her sex change operation. You see? She said that after her sex change operation, then the whole thing just went through the roof. It was there. She said there was some amount of it was there before. But when she changed herself from a man to a woman, and you can understand it. You can understand it. Because now an evil spirit is what is driving you to change yourself from a man into a woman. It's not natural. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that thing has now escalated into that. I tell you, she said that she would walk, and she's a retail store manager. She said she would walk around the aisles of the supermarket as though she's supervising the thing and looking at it, and she's just looking for a man. Yeah. So she goes to work. of course, those of you who go shopping. She will go to work and she'll be walking, pacing up and down the aisles in the supermarket where she is the manager. And you would think that she's looking for, you know, things that have been left in the wrong place. And so she's actually hunting for men. Yeah. She will go out right now and pick up somebody. It's an evil spirit. That excess capacity for that and appetite for that, it's not the way it's supposed to be. You must think about evil. Look at this man. They bind you with chains, and you just pick them off. You just take the chain and you throw it away like some little ring that was just put on your wrist, and you just throw it away. Extra strength, that is what it is. Let me show you another example, because this point I think you really need to understand. A lot of physical strength comes from the spiritual realm. And I want you to see it. I'm going to show you another example. Go to the book of Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Have you found Acts chapter 19? And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth. No, let's read verse 13. Start from verse 13. It says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. Do you understand what they are doing? These are exorcists who took upon themselves to invite people who have evil spirits, and then they'll be trying to cast out the devils by saying to the devils, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Do you understand? They didn't know Jesus. They didn't have a relationship with him themselves. But they knew that Paul has been using some name that has been working. So they could tell the demons, in the name of Jesus, the one Paul has been talking about, you need to come out. So verse 14, it says, and there were seven sons of one Sceva, Mr. Sceva, who had seven sons. You know, Jason Sceva, John Sceva, Stephen Sceva, Richard Sceva, George Sceva, Brian Sceva, and who else? Robert Sceva. Okay, so these seven guys, the Bible says, their father, the seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. These are the guys who were doing that type of thing. So verse 15, now it says, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Can you see that? See, this is the reason why you need to have your own spirituality, and you need to have your own relationship with God, and you need to develop spiritual muscle for yourself. Are you getting it? Because when the guys came and they told the evil spirit, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, get out. Then the spirit said, excuse me. You get it? Yeah. It's like, first of all, you have to be polite. You get it? You don't come to somebody and start ordering him around like that. Then he said, Jesus, I know, I respect him, I understand. Now, Paul, I also know him, because he has thrown me out of places, and I know. But now, who are you? I'm looking on my list of people I'm supposed to obey, and you're not on it. Are you getting it? So look at verse 16. It says, then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them. One man leaped on seven people and he overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Can you see what is going on there? Yeah. And it says, the man in whom the evil spirit was. the man in whom the evil spirit was. Hallelujah. You need to watch before you take on certain fights. See, those of you who like to fight, you need to be careful who you fight against. Because if you fight against the man in whom the evil spirit is, it will not be easy for you. Are you getting the picture? So you can see once again how evil spirits in a person have caused that person to become stronger than a normal person should be. Hallelujah. He's become stronger. It's only in the movies that we can see one man beating so many people. You get it? Yeah. They let him beat one person when they film that. When they finish, they let him beat the next person. They finish, they film that. All of them will be shooting and they will be missing all their shots. They can't kill him. It's just the movie is the way it's supposed to be. And if it's not like that, we won't enjoy it. So they have to make it like that. We like such deceptions. But in real life, seven sons of Sceva, I'm even sure that they went to the man because they felt confident. I mean, seven of us, what can he do? But they were surprised when the man started to address them. And then he chased them out of the place naked. Yeah, seven brothers, Robert, Stephen, Brian, George, John, all of them running in the streets, naked and wounded. You know, and they were running from just one person. Can I have an amen? So we need to watch out. It explains addictions. Do you understand? A person who has the capacity to consume so much alcohol, you know, and just keep drinking and drinking and drinking, and at the point your mind is like you can't function without it. You must begin to think about evil spirits. See, when people are addicted to things, they don't know that something is in control until they try to stop. It is only when they try to stop that they realize that they are not in control. It's like your car. If you were driving your car and your brakes had failed, you wouldn't even know it until you try to stop. It is only when you start to try to stop your car that you actually realize that you are no longer and have not been in control over this car all this while. Can I have an amen? Yeah. So you need to watch out for those kinds of things. All kinds of addictions and excess capacity for these kinds of things. Hallelujah. Think about evil spirits that want to take over your life and want to control you. Say amen. Amen. Okay. So the next one. Another one is... maybe closely related to this one. Uncontrollable people. People who cannot be controlled by anyone or anything. Okay? So back to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse 3. There is a phrase there. It says, and no man, Mark chapter 5 and verse 3. It says, and no man could bind him. No, not with chains. And then verse 5. It says, and always, verse 4 is what I want. Okay. So, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and he had plucked them asunder, and he had broken in pieces, and then it says, neither could any man tame him. Can you see that? So no man could control him. You know. So when you find yourself also, or when you find someone who cannot be controlled by anyone. Do you get it? Someone who cannot be controlled by anyone. They can't be controlled by the law. They can't be controlled by the police. You know. They can't be controlled by the threat of prison. They can't be controlled by... you find people who are very, very much aware that this thing I'm doing, I'm very likely to get caught. Do you see? But the threat of going back to prison itself is not strong enough to stop them. Hallelujah. You must begin to think about evil spirits. Hallelujah. People who cannot be tamed, they cannot be controlled, cannot be advised by anybody whatever they say they are doing, that's what they are going to do. When they set themselves on something, that's what they are going to do. They will not have peace until they've run the full course and finished doing whatever they want to do. Hallelujah. Look, one of the things we have to understand is that God places us under authority. Right from, that is how life is. This is His world. It's not our world. Hallelujah. He made the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. So once you come into the earth, you are supposed to be subject to some kind of authority. And not just into the earth. Every place, that system is replicated in every system. Even in a family. You know, you, the husband and the wife, are together, and then the child comes. You come and meet people that you are supposed to be subject to. Hallelujah. Same thing in the church. You join a church, you come and meet somebody that you are supposed to be subject to. You move into a country, you come and meet a system, a government that you are supposed to be subject to. Hallelujah. Now, it is the devil who rebels against all forms of authority. Amen. Any attempt to control, any attempt to restrict, any attempt to keep the person under any form of control is rebelled against, is rejected. You know, that thing comes from evil spirits. Hallelujah. You watch a child, let's say a teenager, who does not want to be controlled. You see how their lives end. And it tells you who was at the beginning. Do you understand? Who was behind it all? Who was behind the rebellion? You see a lot of teenagers who end up in jail. A lot of teenagers who end up pregnant prematurely. A lot of teenagers who end up in all kinds of trouble. Their lives messed up. Their education spoiled and destroyed and all of that. You see, you can tell. The Bible says wisdom is justified by the fruits. You look at the end and you know who was driving the vehicle at the beginning. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You look at what the rebellion has produced and you can tell who inspired the rebellion. Amen. So that behavior where you do not want to be under authority and a person does not want to be under authority is something that we all need to watch. The Bible says there is no authority. Let's read it. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Can you see that? Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. Say, there is no power. Says, there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Hallelujah. So any type of power that is over you, any type of authority, you know, Pastor, if you give us another version, then we would see that this word power here is actually the word authority. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that we need to be subject unto authority because there is no authority but of God. It is God who establishes and sets up authority. You know, often I have wondered, how is it that one man, another human being just like me, can actually make me stop my car? Do you see what I'm saying? We will all be driving on the road. All of us are feeling free. Then he will just get behind my car and just do wee, 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 and then he'll stop me. Even I am afraid not to stop. Do you understand? And then you ask yourself, I mean, what exactly are you afraid of? Then you realize that there is actually something. You know, you may say the government, but who is the government? If we go all the way to the top to the government, we will see President Obama, but you know that he's not quite the person you're afraid of. Do you see what I'm saying? But there seems to be an intangible system, do you understand, that you can feel and which you recognize. And that's the thing that actually gets you to stop. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. That is how you know that authority, the Bible says, there is no authority. No one can have authority except from God. Hallelujah. That is why when you are rising into things, you have to be careful that you rise up legitimately and do the right way. Because if you don't do it the right way, God will not establish you. The Bible says those that exist, any legitimate authority that exists is established by God. That means if God does not establish you as an authority, you will not be an authority. Do you understand what I'm saying? You will not be an authority. So you talk about people, sometimes you see people, pastors, they break up churches and then they just take somebody's church and go and make it their church. But with time, you just see them struggling. You see even the members rebelling against them because they have an authority that has not been established by God. Are you getting it? It's not just lording yourself over people. It is being established by God. It is being established by God. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you're in a church situation, you are experiencing an established authority that is established by God. I'm here, I'm standing, I'm preaching to you, you're listening to me. You don't know me from anywhere. Why are you listening to me? Wow. Are you getting the picture? But something has been established by God. And so when an authority has been established by God, when you kick against the authority, you kick against God. Do you understand? That is why it's never easy to rebel against authority. That is why when the policeman gets behind your car and he starts to do his pinny thing like that behind you, and you don't stop, as you are driving faster, you are just getting into more trouble. I mean, your troubles are multiplying by the mile. Every extra mile just multiplies your problem. And it gets more complex. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. So there are three types of authority that often the devil inspires people to rise against. Number one is the authority in the church. The devil inspires people to rise against the authority in the church, to rise against their pastors, rise against people that God has appointed to lead them and to bless them and to feed them, to rise against people that God is using to bless them. That is one of the things that the devil does. Number two is the authority in the home. Hallelujah. The authority in a home. And every home has an authority. Hallelujah. Every home has an authority. If you're a member of a family, somebody started the family. Do you understand? There is a founder of each family. Do you understand? And you come and join it. And when you come, you must respect the authority you came to meet. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. One of the ways the devil has attacked homes in America is by attacking the authority in the house. You see, the authority is God's hand in the place. It's God's representation in the place. So when you kick against the authority, you're also kicking against God. Hallelujah. That is why you have a culture of so many homes in America that are destroyed. Often the man, the authority figure himself, is messed up. Do you understand? So it's even difficult for people to respond to his authority if he has any at all. Do you understand? Or if he is there, the devil can also inspire the subjects like the wife and the children and so on to also rebel against his authority. And once that begins to happen, you begin to see that the home is disintegrating and falling apart. Hallelujah. It's a very common strategy to get access to all the youth. The devil has attacked the country, you know, attacked the homes. In fact, there are no homes. They are just half children. That's all. Yeah. And people have a new identity. This is my baby father. This is my baby mother. You know, that's all. When you go to the Caribbean, the other day I was in a place, I think it was Trinidad or so, I was in a place. That's the description that people go by. You know, this one is my baby father, this one is my baby mother. You know, that's it. So people have been born okay, and so-called family has been created. But there is no system. You get it? It's not a family that is together which will allow us to appoint an authority. It is only when we have a class that we begin to think about a class prefect. You see, if we can assemble the people together, suddenly a leader becomes necessary. But if you can create a system where the people are still around,
but they are not together in any organized way, then it makes a leader unnecessary. So when you go to the streets and go to the mall, there's no leader. Even though people are still present, but they are present in an unorganized way, and therefore there is no leader. So the devil has recreated the family system, and now he's made it into a twisted, perverted form that makes it unnecessary to have a leader. So there is no authority in the place. And because there is no authority, God and his establishment cannot be expressed through any one particular person in the place. And so everyone is up for grabs by the enemy. So those who can find guns, just get it. Those who can find knives, just get it. And it's the recipe for chaos. And there is trouble everywhere. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you today? So let's be careful. When God places you under an authority, you must be careful to respect that authority. Amen. Wives must respect their husbands. Hallelujah. Husband means something that wife does not mean. And wife means something that husband does not mean. If we all got into a car, we will all be human beings. But if I sit behind the steering wheel, I will now have the title driver, which means something that passenger does not mean. Is it not true? Yeah. So you see that we are all human beings. We are all okay. We are not saying that one is even superior in a sense and another one is inferior. That's not what we are talking about. But we are talking about roles. That in this car, as I have occupied this seat, my name and title has now changed to driver. Do you understand? And because I am now the driver, even my privileges and responsibilities are also different, isn't it? Like my privileges include my entitlement to a full seat. It doesn't matter how many people come and join the car, I will still have my full seat. Is it not the case? But my responsibilities and obligations also include everybody else can fall asleep. I'm not allowed to sleep. Are you getting what I'm saying? So as I accept that responsibility, I have accepted that all of you fall asleep. I am taking responsibility. I'm not going to fall asleep. I must also be allowed my privilege. Please don't share my seat. Are you getting the picture? So that's the way it is. And so if God has blessed you with someone who becomes the husband in the house, then he must be given his place and he must be respected. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the marriage, the way it is, God is the one who designed it. And he is the one who has designed the roles. He's the one who has designed. Wife means this and husband means this. Are you getting the picture? And the husband in a home situation, this is not, we are not talking about all men are the leaders of all women. That's not what it is. Are you getting the picture? No, it's not like that. So you have a colleague at work, he's not your leader necessarily, unless the office arranges it that way. You are not supposed to be submitting to every man you see in the street. That's not the idea. But in that particular home situation, where this one has been called the husband and that one has been called the wife, then it imposes specific obligations and responsibilities to each of us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So let us learn to respect the systems of God, because the Bible says they cannot be except God authorizes and establishes them. Can I have an amen? I think the way it is, I may have to preach to you one more time about demons. So stand to your feet and let's close today. I didn't get to finish, but next time we will continue. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? Okay. All right. Let's pray. Stand to your feet and let's pray. Everybody just bow your heads and begin to pray in the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, thank you for your instruction. Thank you, Lord, for your teachings. Thank you for enlightening me in the word. Thank you, Father, for your blessing. I pray in the name of Jesus that I will be subject to the authorities you have placed over my life, to the people you have provided. I pray, O God, that as I am myself subject to authority, you will cause me to pray and tell the Lord that as you are subject to authority, then He will also help you to be a good authority over the people that He also places under you. So pray that God will bless you with the ability to recognize His hand in authority in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we are so grateful to you for today, and we thank you for the word of God. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, and it's a light unto our path. We pray, Father, that your word will enlighten us. We pray, Lord, that we will live our lives according to your word as we have heard it in the name of Jesus. Give us power, O God, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. What a blessing. You may be seated, please.